Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, December the 27th. It's actually going to get chilly tonight here in Dallas, Texas. I think it's going to be at 35 tomorrow morning. Now, for some of you up in the Midwest, that sounds a little bit like we're whining about the winter, but 35 around here is pretty chilly. So let's just put it that way. It's going to get chilly tonight. It was very windy this afternoon, but it's lovely. It's lovely. We're between Christmas and New Year's, and this is kind of – usually this is a slow week. Usually it's a slow week, but I'm not sure that is a very interesting thing to say these days, because I mean it seems like there's more and more news than there has ever been in quite some time. So I don't know what to say. Today we're going to be talking about a story that I posted over at Babalu about what is happening down in Cuba. You basically have the 60th anniversary of the Cuban Revolution coming up the 1st of January, and the government has so little to show for it because it's been 60 years, six decades of nothing but going down and going down and going down. And, you know, I don't know what to say other than the Cuban government has a real challenge in their hands because they simply cannot continue to tell people to wait and wait and wait and wait, and things never get better. And this government has serious challenges. The president of Cuba, or the appointed president of Cuba, I should say, decided to take a trip around the world and see, you know, visit different countries, China, Vietnam, France, the UK, Germany. And he was basically looking for investors. You know, he was looking for other countries willing to invest in Cuba. And he didn't find a lot of interest. He didn't find a lot of interest. And I think it's because it's becoming very clear to anybody who wants to, who doesn't live in Cuba or isn't a part of the Cuba elite, if you will, it's becoming very clear to them that Cuba has to change. I mean, there's simply no economic future in the current economic system in Cuba. They have to drastically change. And how do they do that and still maintain their power? That's a challenge. That's a challenge that I think we will see more and more play out over the next year or so. But Cuba has to change, or it's going to go down even further. And I don't know how much further it can go down. I don't know how much longer you can tell people that they have to sacrifice for the revolution. I think those messages are getting very, very old. We have a post over at the American Thinker this morning regarding the Democrats and the Knights of Columbus. You may have heard the story that a couple of Democrat senators, this is the lady senator from California, Ms. Harris, and the lady senator from Hawaii, Ms. Hirono. By the way, Ms. Hirono is better known. This is the lady that during the Kavanaugh hearings said something along the lines of basically telling men to shut up. I guess that's her way of communicating with people. But anyway, these two ladies have decided to go after a Trump appointment, a nominee for the judiciary. And their whole attack is around the lines that this nominee is a member of the Knights of Columbus. The Knights of Columbus, for those of you who may not know, is a Catholic men's organization. It's been around for a very long time. I mean, it's been around forever, over 100 years, I think. It started out somewhere in Connecticut, I think. And it's over the years has been an organization that has brought about a lot of good things. If you are a Catholic, then you probably know what I'm talking about. The Knights of Columbus also has a life insurance company that has provided life insurance services for the members of the Knights of Columbus. So it's a very good program. It's a very good program. And apparently these two ladies, these two Democrat ladies, are angry with the Knights of Columbus because the Knights of Columbus are very strong advocates for life. If you look at their platform, if you look at their website, life is a very important issue for the Knights of Columbus. I'm a part of the Knights of Columbus, and I have from time to time marched on parades. protest against Roe v. Wade. We usually do something on the anniversary of Roe v. Wade. And these two ladies are saying that the Knights of Columbus were an extremist organization, according to these ladies. And I really think it tells you so much about what is happening, at least, I'm not going to say the entire Democrat Party, because there are lots of Democrats who are Knights, meaning they're members of the Knights of Columbus. I wouldn't be surprised if there are members of Congress, Democrats, who are members of the Knights of Columbus. But I think these two ladies are clearly from the left wing of the Democrat Party, and it tells you a great deal about really the intolerance of the left wing of the Democrat Party. Again, you know, they're basically saying, if you belong to an organization that promotes life, if you belong to an organization that believes that marriage is between a man and a woman, then you don't get to serve in the federal government. You know, you're disqualified to serve in the federal government. Well, that's pretty weird, honestly. That's pretty bad. And I wish that some Democrats would stand up and tell these two ladies to, you know, just shut it down, shut it down. The Knights of Columbus is not an extremist organization. There are lots of Democrats who are pro-life. In fact, a lot of Hispanics are pro-life. One of the problems I believe the Democrat Party is going to have in the future with Hispanics, and particularly Hispanic women, is that they're very much pro-life. And the Democrat Party continues to be a party that moves more and more and more toward a anti-life or pro-abortion position. So it's really ridiculous what we're seeing from the Democrat Party and the Knights of Columbus. Again, we're only talking about two senators. We're only talking about two senators. I don't want to say that all of them believe that, but I wouldn't be surprised if there was a lot of support for these ladies in what I call the left wing of the Democratic Party, which is, again, that's where the energy is. That's where the action is. And at least one of these two ladies, Ms. Harris, is running for president in 2020. And I think she's clearly moving herself to the left wing to position herself in the left wing of the Democrat Party, because that's where the energy is. That's where the primaries are going to be fought in, you know, between left wing candidates. And the fact that California has just moved up their primary, so they're going to be right up at the very beginning. Well, that's going to put, I think, a lot of the left-wing candidates like Ms. Harris in a very favorable position to pick up a bunch of delegates before they go to the convention. So what can I tell you? What can I tell you? These Democrats are really, really becoming a party that doesn't seem to have a lot of tolerance, doesn't seem to have a lot of tolerance for people of faith. And that's a bad thing. That's a bad thing, because people of faith are very much a part of our history. We're having a little problem here with our music, our musical break, so I'm just going to keep on talking until we get it. But of course, on this day in history, we always like to check on this day in history. On this day in history, we have a few things. We say happy number 75 to Roy White. He was a very popular player with the Yankees. Scotty Moore, who was Elvis Presley's guitar player in the 1950s and 60s, was born on this day in 1931. He died in 2009. Scotty was critical to the early sound of Elvis. I mean, if you listen to the early music of Elvis, there's no question that Scotty Moore was a big part of that. Oh, there it is. There's the music. We're going to take a little break, and we will be right back. It's good to hear the music file for a minute there. I thought we were not going to hear it. I thought it was down. But, of course, we have a link to our friend Carlos Geddes. We play his music on the show. We have a link to his schedule on the show information. He's playing all over town. And as the holidays are happening, you'll see his name in lots of places around town. And we also have a link to our friend Duke Machado, who's a car dealer here in Texas. So if you're looking for a car, check Duke. If you want a fun place to go dancing and enjoy some good food, you check where Carlos is playing. Just a couple of quick things on this day in history, catching up before we had that little musical file problem. On this day in 1932, Radio Music Hall in New York was started. That's one of the real landmarks of New York. I mean, if you go to New York, you got to walk by there. At least walk by. If you can get in to see a show, that's even better. But you got to walk by that great location there in New York City. And for those of you who live in Dallas, you may remember that on this day in 1995, the Bush Tollway began construction. The Bush Tollway, of course, connects pretty much east-west North Texas or North Dallas. If you're coming, let's say, from I-30 and you got to go to the airport coming from the east to the west, you cut through Bush Tollway, and it saves you a lot of time. And it's something we've grown to depend on a great deal around here, that Bush Expressway, of course, named after the late President Bush, who passed away a couple of weeks ago, and we had that great funeral. So proud of the country, the way it reacted to the late president, not just a great man, but a World War II hero, and just a great man. Well, one quick note that I wanted to get into. It looks like the shutdown is going to hang around for a while. I think this will go into 2009, and I'm one of those who thinks that President Trump needs to go to the nation here pretty soon and talk about this. And I would recommend a speech from the Oval Office or wherever he wants to deliver it from, but speak to the nation as to why he's fighting for this. And I think he's got the winning hand on this, but he's got to go to the public, hopefully after the first of the year when the people are getting back into things. He can do this. I hope he can. And one more thing about President Trump and the media. We've talked a great deal about President Trump and the media, and what happened with CNN and the trip to Iraq was just absolutely horrific. I don't know how CNN can continue to call itself a news organization after what happened with the way they reported President Trump's trip to Iraq. We're going to get into more of this issue with our friend Bill Katz on Sunday when we do the Week in Review. But you know, when President Trump talks about fake news, I tell you, the people in the media keep giving him a hand on this. They keep helping him. When he talks about fake news, it just looks like the media keeps helping the president on this particular issue. Well, I have a post coming out Friday morning. I wanted to tell you about this because this could become a very serious problem. You may have heard that Russia is down in Venezuela, and what they're doing is interesting. They're basically bailing out the Venezuelan oil business. Venezuela has a deep cash problem, cash shortages. It simply does not have the liquidity to meet the country's bills or the country's resources. So what they're doing is they're basically letting the Russians come in, and the Russians are pretty much taking over the oil fields. And in fact, not only the Russians come in, but the Venezuelan government is using its investments or its shares of stock in Citgo, which is a company that the government of Venezuela is a minority shareholder of, and they're using those shares as collateral to pay the Russians. Now, this presents, of course, a potential legal problem for Venezuela, because I don't know how the investors of Citgo are going to feel about being now in business or having the shares of their company basically being pledged to Russia as collateral for oil field investments in Venezuela. I don't know if they can legally do something about it, but I'm pretty sure they're going to be very angry shareholders of Citgo who say, wait a minute, why is our company all of a sudden, you know, serving as collateral, or shares of our company are all of a sudden serving as collateral in business between Venezuela and Russia? And by the way, Venezuela is 49.9% owner of Citgo. So when we're talking about pledging shares, we're talking about pledging half of the company as collateral to the Russians for some of the investments or some of the money that the Russians are dumping in Venezuela. I don't know how successful this is going to be for Venezuela. I don't think it's going to be very successful. I don't know how successful this is going to be for Russia either, because it seems like Venezuela is really beyond repair at this point. But it does provoke, it does create a national security crisis or potential national security crisis when you've got the Russians, in essence, that deeply invested in a country in our hemisphere. I mean, that is simply something that we have not done before, and something that I think the Trump administration is probably looking at very, very seriously, because, again, we don't like to see the Russians involved over here You know, remember the missile crisis. I'm sure everybody remembers that. Well, we're having problems with our musical files tonight, so I apologize. We're not going to be able to close with our usual music. So I do want to thank you for listening, and catch up with us the next time. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we will talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody. Good night from Dallas.